you're one man or one woman, trying his or her best. Then doubt's dreaded voice creeps in. You're not smart enough. You're not fast enough. You're based from second year or first year's weak. You are struggling and you are not succeeding. What do we do then? Fellow student and current chairperson of the African Women Chartered Accountants Student Chapter at the University of Pretoria, AWCA, Lungelo Mpinga might help in giving you that answer. This one was special. We go to the ends of it all, from the dangers of extrinsic motivation to mental health, to the power of self-ownership, to lessons in leadership, and that is just the tip of the iceberg. Her story, man, just wow. Absolutely phenomenal. Lungelo lays it out for all of us to learn, and I thank her. And I hope you do too. This was profound, warm, and compelling. It is so much of what Lungelo will bring to the profession. This one is intimate, and so I hope no one is listening. But if you are, that you keep it to yourself and that you enjoy. Hi guys, just before we start this week's episode, hope you enjoyed the new intro. The end was inspired by A Diary of a CEO. Absolutely love the show. I want to draw your attention to a real problem on our hands. Young girls every month miss out one day of their education, not because they're cranky, not because they're moody, but because they don't want to embarrass themselves or come across as disgusting to the other kids at school. This is a reality for many young girls in South Africa who don't have the means to support themselves. Hence, AWCA at Tux has a yearly pad drive in order to support these young girls in need. So if you're a girl, you get it. If you're a guy, your mom or your sister gets it, and I hope you can try and empathize with them. Let's show our support by donating a pack of pads or two to a girl in need. Just contact Lungelo. Her contact details will be linked in the description to show your support and help our girls. So, without further ado, guys, on to the episode. Welcome back, my people. This is the Road to CA. It's yours, it's mine, it's our conversation, where we look back, we look within, and we look beyond, not in the hopes that it will end, but that it will begin in CASA. We're joined by an aspirant spirit, one on the road who is a high-class act. She was actually competing once upon a time in a national public speaking competition. She's a creative. She's a breath of fresh air and a hot espresso in the morning. She is currently a third-year student in accounting sciences and the chairperson of AWCA, the student chapter of the African Women Chartered Accountants. Above all, she's a daughter, sister, aunt, a friend, is a proud advocate for mental health with a passion for change. Lastly, she is a small girl trying her best and on her way to big things. I'm joined by Lungelo Mpinga. Lungelo, how are you?
OMG. What an intro.
It wasn't me, it was you. It was actually you. You had to do the stuff. You had to be that girl.
Right? I've done so much. That's crazy. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great, thank you. And it's funny, where the first conversation I had on the podcast, one of my friends, he's in the course as well. He mentioned how it takes a long time for us to finally look back and see how far we've come. Mm-hmm. I hope that that intro and this conversation can be one of those moments where you can finally look back and see a lot. See the struggles that all the hard work was worth it.
Yeah.
And then it will continue to be worth it.
You know, speaking about that, I totally agree. You know, sometimes we just don't stop and look back. Sometimes you don't even like stop to celebrate. I'm sure someone else's list is much more longer than mine. Mm. But if you were to put them on the spot and say, hey, what is your proudest moment?
Yeah.
They would not know. Mm. But yeah, I think just stop, smell the roses, write it down and enjoy.
I love you. So firstly, before, for our people, so you are naturally so bubbly, so charismatic, so you're out there, so creative and imaginative. But like creativity and imagination don't, or rather seldom mix with the books.
Oh, were you trying to say with the numbers?
With the numbers. And I don't know if they should, you know, creative mm-hmm, accounting. Mm-hmm. But what brought you here?
What brought me here is, firstly, I didn't know I was quite talented in numbers. Mm. I had a very tricky relationship with math. And this is all because of like external validations. Okay. I didn't have a great relationship with math. And also because my math teacher back in grade 9, she was not the best to me. I felt like I needed a certain mark to understand or feel as if I can do it. Mm. I never actually had to tell myself that, listen, I can do it. So when I got to grade 11, that's where things changed for me. Mm. I had a math teacher, bless her heart. She actually said to me, listen, you are a very smart girl. And if you stop playing, you will go far. And she was the one who actually like gave me a poster with the Tatuga bursary scheme, and that's how I knew about Tatuga, and that's how I knew about CAs, and that's how I knew that I can actually do anything.
Sure. She planted a seed, hey?
Yeah, all she had to do was look me in the eyes and say, if you stop playing and you put in the work, you go far.
Yo, that's powerful. Like, and it's even more powerful the fact that, you know, you can think back to that grade 9.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't a maths person.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lie that everyone, a lot of people are told and made to believe.
Yeah,
that they're not maths people.
When I look back and I just think about it, like, it was so silly.
Yeah.
It was so silly because I knew what I was doing, but I had no trust in myself. And you not trusting yourself, you know, everything starts in the mind.
Mm.
If you tell yourself that it's going to be hard and you don't know what you're doing, you've already failed. Because it is going to be hard and you won't know what you're doing because you've already told yourself that. So our minds are programmed to listen to us and to listen to our bodies.
Mm.
So if we're telling our minds that, hey, this is tough, it will be tough. Mm. But if you're telling your mind, this is tough, but you know what? I'm tougher.
Small self-talk. You're speaking about self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
It is bloody powerful. It can be the difference between making it and the difference between not just not making it, but crashing and burning in a lot of ways. What would you say to people who struggle with their self-talk? Because a lot of people are operating from a place of doubt.
Oh, yeah.
So what would you say to those people?
Firstly, I just want to put it out there. I'm no expert. Mm-hmm. I'm actually in that journey.
Mm-hmm.
Open to say I'm in therapy currently because of that.
Powerful, yeah.
Because my first year is when I realized that you are your greatest asset and tool in life. You're your biggest project, your biggest test.
Yeah.
And how you handle yourself is how things are going to be handled for you.
Mm.
So, my first year is when I realized I was very toxic towards my own self.
Mm.
Hated myself.
We don't think about that. We don't think of it like that.
Yeah.
Like we are, there was this interesting take on, so this was one guy, forgot his name, but he calls any act against your longevity of you living life as an act of violence. So if you're like sleeping late,
mm-hmm.
it's an act of violence.
Mm-hmm.
If you're eating wrong when you know you shouldn't be,
mm-hmm.
it's an act of violence. It's very interesting that you mentioned that you were toxic to yourself.
But you know how I feel like everything starts somewhere? For me, I can pinpoint where this all started.
Mm.
External validations are like horrible for people. If you need someone else to tell you that you look good, that's bad, because how can you not tell yourself that you look good? You don't believe and trust in yourself, so you need me to do it for you. What if I stop? What happens then? What if someone stops saying, well done, Alunga. Wow, you're a brilliant student. Oh my gosh, congratulations, you're a top student. Well done. What if people stop recognizing you? What's happening to you? Are you going to just stop? So that happened to me in first year. I went from a high of Lungelo, Lungelo, wow, Lungelo, to just hearing my name, seeing my name, being selected, going to competitions, winning, achieving every goal. Like people telling me, listen, you are that girl. And I was her. I'm not going to lie. I was her. Yeah. But when I was put into an environment where I was tested, and I was tested in the terms of character, my abilities, can I do it? I lost it. Not because I was not capable, but because I didn't think I could do it. So I almost failed my first year because of that. And it was terrible. After that, I realized that, you know, what makes this journey hard is trusting yourself. It's more internal than it is external. Don't get me wrong, the work is tough, but it's not as tough as you being your biggest critic in the morning till night and having to study this work. You understand? So self-trust also is very important. What can I say to someone who's going through something where they don't believe in themselves and they don't trust themselves? You need to get to a place where you are your best friend. You need to get to a place where you are positive about things, even when the building is falling, even when there's, I don't know, fire and nothing is going right. You need to be able to understand that at the end of every test, week, movie, meal, friendship, relationship, there is you. And you go through all of these stuff. So you need to get to a place where you are happy with yourself.
How did you do it?
How did I do it?
Yeah. Because now it's very powerful. I can even feel your energy, that you've been there. You've been there. You've been down.
You've been
at that down place.
I'm not out yet.
Yeah.
I'm not out yet, but I'm in a much more better place.
Yeah. You're coping.
I'm coping. Yeah. And, you know, I'm grateful for that. How did I do it? Sure. It's crazy. It's crazy. But simple things like reconnecting with self. What do you like doing? Do you like praying? Do you like taking walks? Simple things like rewarding yourself for waking up. You woke up. You could have just stayed in bed. You could have just cried the whole day. But you woke up. Be proud of that. It's small, yes, but you did it. You understand? You could have just decided not to do it, but you did it. Praying. I believe that I am a daughter of God, and He does not give me my weaknesses and my struggles to forsake me and throw me away and make me like die and cry and just be miserable. We all have dreams. Some people dream to be CEO. Some people dream to have big businesses, big things, huge, massive things, right? But we need to be tested to get there. So it's not easy, right? So can you imagine a CEO who's never been tested in life?
Imagine.
Can you imagine a CEO or a big entrepreneur, billionaire, millionaire who has never been tested in life, spiritually, mentally, physically, all aspects of life, right? You learn yourself through the process, and which is so funny that we learn our greatest lessons when we're down and when we just feel like, you know what, I can't do this anymore. That's when you actually can. That's when you learn so much about yourself. That's when we see, are you a fighter? Or are you a quitter?
Journeys with yourself. I think creating, or rather taking hold of the relationship with yourself. That's what I'm kind of learning.
Yeah.
To not view those moments by yourself as awkward, you know, as insufferable. I think. To a lot of people, I've seen in myself, even in lockdown, it's hard to just be in your own thoughts. Because then you start to see your issues and, you know, you want to just switch it off, watch something or switch it off, go with friends.
Ignore it.
Mm-hmm. Ignore yourself.
Yeah.
But I think a very powerful thought that I'm learning with you is to take ownership of that relationship.
Definitely.
Take ownership of the relationship.
I think another thing humans, I'm not going to say that everyone struggles with, is taking ownership of your life.
Mm-hmm.
We need someone to blame. I realized that with myself.
Yeah.
It's so much more better if you can say, it's because of this person that I didn't make it here.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of you that I'm here, understand? Mm-hmm. But to be able to take ownership and to say, listen, I didn't do X, Y, Z. I didn't do this. That's why I'm here.
Mm.
I went to a period in my life where I started hating God.
Sure. I think we all do at some point.
Yeah. So. I started hating God. And I started questioning his existence.
Yeah, test one. Thinking back to that one test.
You know?
I was questioning.
You know? Because you're like, you said that I am your child and that you'll be there for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I do everything for you. Yeah. I pray. I go to church. I pay my tithes. I'm a good person. Right? And you go on and you go on and you go and how do you let me suffer this much to the point where I'm almost about to lose everything?
Yeah.
And you know my struggles, you know my pain, you know I can't handle this, but yet you gave it to me. Right? You start to hate him. And it's a very sad place to be in, because at that point you just question everything you believe in. Yourself, can you do it? Is there even a God?
Mm.
Is this even possible? Like, it's just a very sad period. But when you take ownership and you say, you know what? God is there somewhere out there. If I do my bit and I work my butt off and I ensure that I put myself in the great position, right? And I just try my best every day and I wake up and I try my best, he will not leave me nor forsake me. He will meet me at the other side. So just do your bit. Just go. Just wake up. Just try. Just try. Just go.
Yeah. Hey, trying. Trying's hard. But I think you have that little bit of responsibility always. And to just get out of bed. You know, make up your bed.
Yeah.
Just do that. That's the first domino.
Mm-hmm.
The first domino to set you for the day, for the week, for the month, for the life. You know what I'm saying? Every single day is a new life.
Mm-hmm.
You're passionate about mental health.
As you can tell.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Okay, this mental health journey did not begin with me. So I have a sister who's going through so much.
Mm.
So growing up, it was tough for her because she's the eldest sister.
Uh-huh.
And she's not necessarily doing well in school as a younger sister, and she's just going through life while someone else is like, it looks like there's just, you know, they're just flying through life,
gliding.
You know, they're
running,
they just have wings,
but she's limping.
You understand?
That's what it looks like that.
Yeah. And it's tough because you're living with this person.
Mm.
When you go to bed, she's next to you. She's right there.
Yeah.
You are going through hell and this person is just, you know.
They're just
doing
chilling.
Their thing.
Looks like they're just chilling.
Doing their thing.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
It's hard. It was hard for her. At that time, I had no empathy because I couldn't relate. I don't know what she's going through. I can just always tell her to get up and try because that's what I was doing. But it's sometimes so tough to just get up and try.
Mm.
I didn't know what she was going through until I came here, and then the shoe was on the other foot.
Mm.
And that's when I really became passionate about mental health.
Mm.
And, you know, I don't come from a perfect family. I don't come from, you know, a mom and a dad household.
Mm.
But, like, you know, I don't let that get to me.
Mm.
So I'm just being very aware of what the mind does to people when they go through stuff. And I was like, you know what, Ne? I don't want this to be me. Love you lots. But no, not with me. Not with the generations that are going to come from me. Mm. No, it stops here. So that's when I was like, I'm taking my mental health seriously.
That's powerful, man. That's powerful to look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think like you are at some level your ancestors.
Yeah.
They gave you life,
but
they also gave you all these curses. That comes with the blessing of life. It comes with the curses of living and the curses of all of the problems they had that we have to work through. Some of them are very clear, tangible. Mm-hmm. Some of them are a lot deeper.
Way deeper.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's powerful to understand that now.
Mm-hmm.
Before it's too late, before the fact, you know. Yeah. So tell me about your experience at AWCA. In fact, first before that, tell me what AWCA is for all the aspiring CAs out there. And yeah, then you can tell me about your experience in it.
Well, AWCA is wonderful.
Yes, of course.
AWCA is, as you said, African Women Chartered Accountants. So we are here. Well, the whole reason there's AWCA, I mean, you guys have seen the stats.
Yeah.
You guys have seen the stats. Our African women are, it's not looking good right there. So basically what we do is that we try and empower women, create sisterhood through networking, career advice, and like I said, sisterhood, to ensure that we have more African women chartered accountants. So Black, Indian, colored, Asian even, are allowed to join our society.
Mm.
So we are trying to ensure that we have more African women as chartered accountants.
Mm.
That's the whole reason we're here.
I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. So the structures, what are some initiatives that you've been part of, and what have you learned from those?
The initiatives I've been part of, firstly, I've had the privilege to go to SAICA and see how, you know, it is up there, because you hear about SAICA, but have you ever been to SAICA? So I went to SAICA and I realized that SAICA is also quite passionate about getting African women numbers up.
Mm.
What I've learned is that we are powerful as women, and they are trying to move from that stereotype that a woman is, you know, just a wife and women can do anything that they want to do. And we need more African women as chartered accountants. You know, we're trying to break the stereotype for a girl who's sitting at home, who is Black, who's African, just put it that way, who's African, and who says, why try when already I'm going to fail?
Mm.
We want to give them the opportunity and the resources to enable them to be CAs. So I've been part of going to SAICA and learning about what SAICA is doing to ensure that there are more African CAs. What we offer from the AWCA in a student chapter level is that we have networking and career advice sessions. So we do have events. Actually, one is coming up on Friday, CASA and Beyond. So where we just invite CAs who have been in a similar place where they are, and they tell them about, like, what is in store for you beyond CASA. Because I guarantee you, that is not the finish line.
It's not the end. It's the beginning. Hopes that it will not end, but that it will begin in CASA.
Yeah. So we have initiatives where we teach ladies what it is to be a CA, what CAs do, because we realize that a lot of our members, I'm just going to state the stats from our members, don't actually know what a CA does. Some of them have never actually seen one. Some of them only saw CAs when they got to uni.
Mm.
They don't know what a life or a day in a CA looks like.
Mm.
They only applied for accounting science because maybe their math teacher told them, or they heard that there's opportunities. They don't know what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
So I guess that's why also the numbers are falling away, because we realize that we don't have the resources to continue this journey, so I'd rather go do something else.
Mm, I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a lot of lessons we learn in these leadership positions. What are some that you've learned?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put it out there. Being a leader is tough.
It's not all bells and whistles. Oh, you get the corner office, all that. No, it is tough.
It's not for the faint-hearted. It's not for the people who have small hearts. It's not for the arrogant. Being a leader is tough. If there's one thing I've learned, is a leader serves. You need to be humble. You need to be humble. Leaders actually get their hands dirty. I'm not saying unethically, guys, okay?
No, not like that.
No.
You know, Psyka's CPC. You know, Psyka's watching. Psyka's watching. We know.
Right? Yeah. I'm not saying. I'm saying is to lead, you need to serve. You need to know what your people want, what they need, and you should give it to them. So I've learned so much about being humble and putting in the work. Being a leader teaches you that you need to be organized. You need to be so organized. Yeah. Like, you're running on a schedule. Time is your friend. Time is your biggest friend and your worst enemy. So being humble and just serving with passion. I've learned to just be humble.
It's amazing to hear that, because you're going to be a future leader out in the world. You're going to be a CA. So then, and obviously you a CA, it's like times 10. It's that, that CASA, it's a leverage multiplier. There's already so much in you, but now with the CA, you're going to be even more influential. If we don't have leaders that are responsibility centered. So I got this from The Motive by Patrick Lencioni. It's one of the simplest but most important books I've ever read in my whole life about the importance of a leader's motivation and how it's actually a make or break factor in an organization. So people that are, or leaders that are rewards centered, they will not do the things that keep the organization alive for the long term. They will not pull through in that overtime, in that specific activity that's not being done. You know, leaders are there for to do the things that no one else can do. That's what leaders are there for. But reward-centered leaders, they don't do those things. And they fall short and organizations crumble and don't perform as well as others. Whereas responsibility leaders, they do the hard work. They are there for the organization's sake. They serve. They know they have to be humble, because at the end of the day, it's not about you. It's not about the leader. It's about the led. You know, and to know you're going to be one of those responsibility-centered leaders, it's a good thing. You know, it gives me hope for the country.
Good hands.
Exactly.
We're in good hands, people.
Like, we need more people in leadership who are responsibility-centered. Because all over in politics and a lot of places, leaders that are not for the people, they show in the results.
I also feel like it's love. I never classify myself as a born leader. That's something my mom does. She just says, you've just been leading us since day one. I don't classify myself as a born leader. I just love people. I love seeing people progress. I love getting the job done with compassion and love and respect the right way. You know, just not doing things just, okay, we have to do this so we can do this. We need to do it the right way. Like, after we've had our session, or for example, when my term ends, you, right, as for example, my events officer, my outreach officer, my vice, you must have grown holistically from this experience. You must come out of here craving for the next role. I want to lead again. I want to be put in a position where I can work again and serve people again, right? I don't want you, when the term ends, you're like, whew, that'll do it.
Finally.
Woo, you know?
Yeah.
No, I want you to be like, okay, I've grown as a person. I've grown as a professional. Because, I mean, you're learning a skill.
Yeah.
I encourage everyone out there. Do something. Lead somewhere. You know? Just do something. Don't just be a student. Do something. Develop a skill. And you're going to be CAs, guys. You guys are going to be CAs. You guys are going to be leaders. So yeah. You guys need to do something.
Yeah.
And there's certain things I only learned in this role, in this like leadership position that I see, like, for example, with my group projects, that there's a certain way you think. You are more considerate. Mm. You are more, you know, accurate. You are not here to play.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm. It's amazing. Guys, apply for those things. I think there's even House CA coming up soon.
Oh, apply, guys. Put yourself out there. Don't say, yo, Bazotini, what are they going to say? Yeah. Oh, now my face is going to be all over and I'm going to have to campaign, ask people for votes.
That's the price of being a leader. You're going to have to put yourself out there.
Exactly.
That's the price of service.
Exactly.
Of giving back, contributing to this thing.
Because when you're out there getting sponsors, funds for your events, you're going to be out there. Yeah. Your face is going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
You're going to be asking these people, following them up. You understand?
Yeah.
So I just say, just go for it. Just do it now. You have nothing to lose.
Nothing.
What are you going to lose?
You only have everything to gain.
Yeah, actually. You have nothing to lose. What are you going to lose?
How do you balance it with the course? Because I know that's going to be an excuse that comes up.
With the course.
I've already got accounting. Imagine now I have a leadership. Accounting's enough.
Oh, how I balance it is a schedule. You really need a schedule, guys. You need a to-do list. You need a to-do list. You can't just be waking up and just running aimlessly.
Mm.
You need to have a schedule. And also, I hate this word, it's discipline.
I hear you.
You need to be very disciplined. I'm not saying now when you said at 6:30 you're going to eat. Now you're eating at 6:30. Mm-hmm. But you must know at what time, what are you doing, when, how.
Yeah.
You must have a plan of action.
Yeah.
So how I do it is that I have a list of the things I need to do. School and work. Right? So I get the school first. You are a student first. Mm-hmm. School first. School out the way. And then you work. If you have free time at school, you put in an email. I need to send mang an email.
Yeah.
Slide in that email. Yeah, you understand? Yeah. You need to be on top of your game. So you need to be very disciplined. Mm. That's really all it takes to actually juggle things.
Yeah.
Discipline.
Mm. Schedule, discipline. If you want to do it, you can.
Anyone can
schedule,
do it.
Schedule, discipline.
You know, you just need a schedule, to-do list, you know. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that AAWCA is doing like an outreach initiative. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that to the people?
So AAWCA has an outreach initiative every year where we do a pad drive.
Yes.
So we know period's not a choice, guys. Girlies get their periods.
Literally, like recently, my little sister, she started to have her lady problems.
Oh.
My mother told me and I was like, whoa.
Oh.
Whoa.
Okay, but that's not like an odd like topic.
It's not odd at all. Mm-hmm. It's just I'm not comfortable. I'll just
OMG.
Be, I should just.
It's natural.
It is natural.
Women need their periods so that people can be born. This is not a life science class, but
yeah.
You understand?
Yes.
It's
a normal thing. It's a normal thing.
So, like I said, periods are not a choice. And you'd be surprised at the pad prices.
Mm.
Oh, it's insane, guys. Mm. Just making sure that you can actually function and go to school and have a pad is expensive.
Mm.
Some girls don't have pads. It's a reality. It might not be yours, but I guarantee you it's someone else's reality. That when they get their periods, they can't go to school because they have to sit and they have to figure out a way to, you know, not disgust everyone else, basically. So we have a pad drive. So what we do is we collect pads throughout the year so that during the end of the year we send them off or donate them to a home where there are females who need them the most. So with that being said, if you guys are hearing this podcast and you are thinking, oh yes, I'd want to donate a pad, please do. I don't know if I should drop my numbers or my email.
I will have that something for people to contact in the description.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll even send a message on the WhatsApp groups. I think this is something that we should do.
Oh, yeah. We should please, do guys. Yeah. It's someone else's reality.
Mm.
It might not be yours, But there's a girl out there who hates her periods, not because of the pain, not because she's moody, but because she can't afford a pad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, guys, that is, if anything, you know, you don't have to follow. It's fine. Just donate some pads. I think this is just something that we all have to be aware of. There's no person who shouldn't be aware of it. There's no person who shouldn't really understand the issues that girls are going through. Like, that's a pretty big one. Mm. So, in any case, please, ntacela, so brief, if you haven't already, follow this. But before you follow this, I would rather have you donate some pads. If you have not already, please do so. Follow this. We also have a LinkedIn now. So search up The Road to CA on LinkedIn. You'll find it. We'll start posting stuff there, but you can follow it before we start posting some stuff there. I hope that it does not end, but that it begins in CASA. Lungelo, you have been such an amazing guest. You are just a radiant force. You're such a ray of sunshine. And I hope you carry on.
Aww, I don't want to go.
I wish she couldn't go, guys. You also wish, but she has to.
Oh, guys, it's been lovely. It's been awesome. Mm. Listen, Alunga, this is great. This is an amazing platform. I pray that it goes higher.
Thank you.
I pray it goes higher. Thank you for having me. It's been awesome. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
Love you. Ah! You're amazing.
Thank you.